Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen, amen. Welcome to Thursday night at the Royal Bluettes. We wasn't on last week. We had some technical difficulties last week, but we are on this week. So thank God for that. I don't know who's all on. I know my wife is on. I don't know if any of my kids are on just yet.
I'm on.
So, who is that, Vanessa?
Yes, me, Ashley.
Okay, all right. Well, welcome, welcome, welcome. My daughter Vanessa and Andre are on. Tonight, I think we're coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 2. That my wife wants to come out of. But first, I want to thank God for this moment. Thank God for life, health, and strength. Thank God for just waking us up every morning. And I want to thank God for Elder Oliver and this broadcast that he has a platform for, radio. Thank you, Elder Oliver, for all that you do. Thank you for being steady in the work of God. Thank you for providing a platform for others to get on to talk about the wonderful name of Jesus and to talk about family. May God continue to bless you and your wife, your family, that y'all could even have a broader platform for others to get on and that your platform would reach the world in the name of Jesus. So before we start, let me see if I can get my wife or one of my daughters to pray us in, and we'll start from there. Not a Thanksgiving prayer, just a prayer just to begin tonight.
Well, I'll start it off. First of all, Lord God, I just want to say thank you for the opportunity, Lord God. I thank you for who you are, Lord God. I thank you for just using us, Lord God, to be the vessels for this dying world, Lord God. I just want to say thank you for just being God all by yourself, Lord God. I just want to say thank you. I can't thank you enough, Lord God, and I just want to praise you, give you all the glory, all the honor for tonight, Lord God, for my kids. All of my kids, Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, for this Blog Talk Radio, Lord God. Touch our minds, Lord God. Touch our hearts, Lord God. This is a subject that, Lord God, has been tested throughout the ages, Lord God. But we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for just giving us insight on tonight, on some of the scriptures, Lord God. Help us to dissect the scriptures, Lord God, the way you gave them to us, Lord God, the way that you gave them to us, Lord God, and what your word is saying, Lord God, exactly what your word is saying, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, for coming alive in the scriptures in our lives, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you, Lord God, that we say something to enlighten somebody, to encourage somebody, to live for you, Lord God, that you are real and you walk this earth, Lord God, for us, Lord God, for our sins, Lord God. And we just want to say thank you for your birth as we dissect and dive into this word, Lord God. We just want to say thank you again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. That was a good Thanksgiving prayer right there.
Amen. That's good.
All right. Amen, amen. All right,
before we get started real quick, I just want to say we hadn't been on for a couple of weeks. We have been having difficulties, and by reading the scriptures over and over, it just gave me time to just keep reading it and keep reading it. And every time I read it over and over, it just came more alive. So I just encourage each and every one of you, even if you read, you know, and you're used to it and you quote them all the time, go back and read what's before it and what's after. Read the whole chapter of what that scripture, your favorite scripture. And you will get a better understanding and a better meaning of it instead of just quoting just that scripture, just that, you know, just one little line. Go back and read, and you will get so much and a better and a fuller understanding. And the word, then your that your favorite scripture will be even more favorable to you once you, you know, go back and really read it and just get the full understanding of it. And I just thank God for, you know, for the delay, because the delay, it was for me to really get the what I needed to get out of what I was reading. Elder Oliver, for the delay, or whoever had the technical difficulties these last couple of weeks, it just gave me more time to just reread and reread. And, yeah, I just want to thank you. But anyway, go ahead, Pink.
Well, we hadn't got to that point yet. I was going to give you that, but you're going to jump right in. So I feel your energy. Why don't you go ahead and start us off?
Well, what were you going to say? I don't want to just not let you do what you was going to do. I said what you was going to say.
Well, I forgot now. I mean, I was going to bring you in that way, but you kind of took it. But there's no problem with that. That's who you are. That's what you are, and you're excited about God. So, again, we're coming out of the book of Luke, chapter 2. My wife's been real adamant about doing this. We've had a few discussions on it and how to do it and what to do, what to say. So I'm going to turn it over to you since you've been studying it and what we should get out of it.
No.
And we'll all chime in if we can and help you and support you.
Okay, if you could just go ahead and read like we did the last chapter 1, and we're going to do it exactly like we did it the last time. If you could just go ahead and start reading, and we just keep reading until.
Or I could read, either one of us. I'm sitting still, so I'll read for you.
Thank you, ma'am. I appreciate it.
Welcome. I'll do King James. Oh, this is so different from my version. Hold on. Do I want to read? Hold on. Let me.
No. Go ahead and read yours.
Let's do the King James version, and then Vanessa can read hers, and we get the same understanding. So what I'll do, I'll start off reading the King James version. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Agabus that all the world should be taxed. Taxing was first made by Quirinius, of governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone in his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David. So I got to stop right there. Because if we can't just read scripture without explaining some few things about it. So Joseph was one of the great, 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 and a whole lot of other great grandsons of David. God had promised David that his household or his lineage would always occupy the throne or be in line to the promise of God sending the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ. So it had to come through Joseph, the son of David, that we already are in the book of Luke 2 right now, okay? So that's why it says because he was the house and lineage of David. So the Messiah, which was his name in the Old Testament, Messiah or Yahweh, is called Jesus now in Luke 2, being born of Joseph, who is the son of David. All right? So verse 5 of Luke 2.
No, wait, hold on. Hold on, real quick. Yeah. I just want the listeners just remember, Bethlehem is where they're going, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Bethlehem means the house of bread. So remember that, the house of bread. Go ahead.
All right, Luke 2 and 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So we got to see, so there's so much in this right now. We can't just read it and make common comments.
No, go ahead.
We can't just read it and just keep reading or whatever, because
you got to get to
the whys. You got to get to before you can get to the outcome, right? So Luke 2 and 5, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, great with child. How did Joseph get to this point to where he can be with a woman he's espoused to? They hadn't even got married yet. That's pregnant already. How could he get to a point to bring her and be with her, even going to Bethlehem to be taxed, right? How could he still be with her, right? So we know that the Holy Ghost got Mary, his wife, pregnant. And when he was going to privately put her away, meaning he didn't want to embarrass her because she got pregnant or she had an affair or she did something with somebody else before they even got married, an angel came to him at night in his dream and explained to him how that happened. That's why he's at this point now where she's still with him, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So she was at the 9-month mark right now. Joseph has been through a lot, but his ease came when the angel came to him in his dream at night, explaining to him what was going on. So there's a lot going on with Joseph right now. There's a lot going on to what he got to, bring his wife, take her with him from Nazareth to Jerusalem to be taxed, right? So that's Luke 2 and 5 on that explanation of why she was pregnant and he still was with her. So Luke 2 and 6 says, And so it was that while they were there, the days accomplished that she should be delivered. So she was at her delivery point. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So the hotel, the motel, the rental homes, all that was all rented out. Because people came at this point of time and year to be in Jerusalem from all over the Roman Empire. So I'll leave that right there. Okay. So she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in the manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So this is actually Jesus Christ we're talking about, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He is the one that created all this. He is the one that brought all this forward. He is the one that created the world. He is the one that created life. He is the one that did everything that we see today. It's because of him that things are, right? He's being born in a barn right now. He's been laid in a manger. A manger was a trough, a thing that held water for the horses and cows and sheep to drink out of. So evidently they had to clean it out, dry it up, put some swaddling clothes on there, some warm cloth clothing in there to lay the baby Jesus in. How humble is it that he was born this way?
Mommy, pick it up. Please pick it up.
Go ahead, Nani. Go ahead. Talk about what we could
go
to my mind.
Go, please. Because what you were sharing with me throughout the week and last week was so good.
I know, but the thoughts are not there right now. It's just
how do we always prop ourselves up? How do we always try to put us first before God? How do we always try to put our feelings first? How do we always try to put what we accomplish first? How do we always put our first ourselves first. When we see Jesus himself, that could have been born in a 5-star hotel, that could have been born where the whole world is recognizing it right at this moment, where he can't, but he humbles himself. God humbles the situation to where he is born in a barn, placed in a manger where horses drink water out of, cows drink water out of. How humble is that? And if we think every day of where we try to place ourselves, we are totally wrong. Totally wrong. So this is a good example of being humble when you start out. Not saying who you are, whose you are. Not trying to put your name out there. Just start. And this is the humble beginning of the birth of Jesus Christ. All right? So verse 8 in Luke 2.
Hold on,
and
wait.
Yep.
Well, mommy would have brought out yesterday, the day before, and I loved it, about how a manger, I just looked it up too. It says a manger or a trough is a rack, a rack for a structure or a feeder used to hold food for animals, and how you brought up the water too, and how Jesus is the bread of life and he's living water. Like, how like crazy that metaphor is in the word of Jesus being like being born in a manger, him being placed in a manger, him being the bread of life for us. And I love that. I think that was one of the points that how mommy was saying how God just kept giving her more and more as she sat on it. I love that point, and that is so good. And how you were saying, like, how mommy even was saying how what did you say, how he was, there was no room inside of the hotel, the inn. Like, that's how the it had to be written like that. Like, it was already written like that for him to be born in the manger. Like, it was already written, and how there was no room for him in there. And how you were saying, Daddy, about that humble, you know what I'm saying? Because, of course, this is God that we're talking about on earth being born. Of course, it could be to where the whole hotel is wiped out. You know, everybody get out. There's going to be room for this baby to be born. No, it's the humbleness of, you know what, he could be born, you know, he could be laid into a manger, and the manger being the way for animals to get food and water is crazy, because Jesus is the bread of life. He is living water. And that was really good. That was really good. I love that.
And it also let us know we can't despise small beginnings. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's not how you start off, it's how you finish. And he
mm-hmm.
the for him to be born in filth and dirt and doo-doo, you know, regardless of where you are in your life, it doesn't matter where you are and how you start and where you was raised. You could have been raised in a slum. You could have, you might be still in the slum. But that don't even matter to Jesus Christ. It don't matter. It don't matter. Wherever you are in your life, God can come there, right where you are, in those slums. He's been there. He was born there. So who are we to judge anybody? My Christ was born in filth. And we start doing better and getting better, and we want to look down on others. We don't have room to look down on nobody. My Christ was born in the lowest of the lowest, in horse and dog and, well, whatever animals that have manure. So wherever you are in your life, it don't matter. It don't matter. Give your life to Christ, and he'll lift you up. He'll bring you up. Learn his ways. Learn what his will is for your life. Learn it. Get in the word for yourself. Get some scriptures. Like I said, those favorite scriptures, read before it. Read after it. Don't just quote the scripture. Get in it. Because it's more into the word. It's more, the word is a living word.
I don't care how many times I read this story. I never got that out of there. Never. The more you read it, the more you're going to get out of it. Even if you have to read the same chapter over and over. That's why they call it a living word. And I see why the enemy didn't want this word to go forth. This is our, what, the fourth week? We've tried. But I thank God for a time, the first Thursday of 2024 is the best Thursday that you could ever see if you just give your life to Christ. Let him lead you. Let him guide you. This is what he died for. Controversy on where he was born, how he was born, what month, what year, it doesn't matter. He was born. He said, remember my death, not my birth. So his birth had meaning. It had meaning. But we put so many emphasis on, well, he wasn't even born in December. Why are we celebrating? Because he was born. This is the day that the world chose to celebrate. We can celebrate him every day. But guess what? He was born in a feeding trough with animals. We do know that. The humblest state a person could be born. Tell me what is more humiliating than that. I can't think of anything. So guess what? Like I said, it doesn't matter where you was born. It don't matter how you start, but it's how you finish.
It was something that, when we were talking yesterday, it reminded me of how you were saying how he came humble and, you know what I'm saying, how he was born in the manger. That was the bread of life, all that, whatever. And he was just putting emphasis on, you know, it was out in the field, you know, where they were taking care of sheep and whatever. And it reminded me of how even when Jesus came into, I don't know what city it was, don't quote me, but how he came in on a donkey. Like, there's so many situations in the word of how humble he was and him coming in. Like, because he can come in on a white horse and have the best of the best, a horse and chariot. He can do all of that. This is God. He can do all of that. But it's how humble he comes. It's just so beautiful to me in the word. Like, this is the God that we serve, that is understanding, has been in our situations, has been in our shoes, and he knows the walk that we, you know what I'm saying, and came down to our position and where we are to come and get us, you know, so that we can have life, can, you know, grow and be better and be all that he, you know, wants us to be. I don't know, it's just so beautiful how he'll come down to us and humble himself and show us how to walk, show us how to be and be that example, you know. So, yeah, like I said, this is, I just want to say this reminded me of when he came in on a donkey. Like I said, don't quote me. I don't know what city, but how he came in on a donkey. So, yeah.
In Jerusalem.
Okay, well, yeah.
Pink, you want to go ahead?
I don't know if he did.
Yeah, that was a prophecy fulfilled when he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the donkey's mother was also with him to calm, keep the donkey calm, because that donkey had never been rode upon by a man. That was to show him as Lord of Lord and King of Kings, that he came in like that. He had never shown himself to be that way, that people he looked for praise, or that he looked for people to say anything about him. That was the first time in his ministry that he had ever done something like that, and was the last time, and it was just only a couple, two or three days before his death when he did that. But, yeah. So we're in Luke chapter 2. We're at verse 9. And lo, the anger of the Lord came upon them. We had verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night, over their flock by night. And lo, the anger of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were so afraid. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This again is a prophecy prophesied by the prophets that was fulfilled by God in bringing this to pass. This was talked about 800 to 1600 years prior to this happening. The word of God came to the prophets on saying that this would happen. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And this was God fulfilling his promise that he would create an atmosphere or a situation that all people could be saved, not just Israel, but all people, creating an atmosphere that all can repent and be reconciled unto him. The one thing that God was adamant about was people going and doing their own things, worshiping other gods, being unfaithful and turning away from him. So this was all foreknowledge by God that he would send Jesus Christ. And we hadn't even got to the part where he was crucified, and we won't go there just yet. But God made this promise that I will receive you back if you're willing to accept me. So God created the situation to get people back to him. And that's where we're at in the book of Luke, where Jesus is being born. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I'll stop right there. All right, so he was talking to the, y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Hello? Yeah.
Okay. All right, so the angel was talking to the shepherds. For unto you, in verse 11, for unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. So not only was the angel that appeared unto them saying this, but the host of heaven appeared and was worshiping because of this event. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass as the angels were going away from them in heaven, into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us not go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came in haste, they rushed, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart.
Hold on one second. I wanted to go back, and it came to pass, when it was haste. Only thing I wanted to say is, I think I have word in my notes. Look for the signs. The shepherds went running. When they heard this about this Jesus, they hurried up. And God wants us to be the same way. When we hear the good news, or if God has done something, or if you learn of Jesus, he wants us to tell. They went and told. They went and said something. They opened up their mouths. It's a lot of silent Christians. It's a lot of us that's silent.
I want to just challenge everybody. I mean, at least win one soul. Leave one soul to Christ. I would say once a month. I want to say once a week, but I'm just going to say this month, for the next 6 months, just once, one a month. For the next 6 months, at least once a month, at least one a month. Lead somebody to Christ. If you can do it once a week, do it once a week. If you can do it once a day, do it once a day. But that's my challenge to everybody that's under the sound of my voice. Once you hear the word of God, once you learn of him, and how are we making him known after we hear him? How are we making Christ known after we saw his miracles, after we felt his miracles, after we learned of his miracles? We've had so many miracles in the last couple of months around the Blue X. I'm talking about miracles. From our house almost catching on fire to my baby boy getting out of prison. When I tell you things just been popping off over here, God is moving. But are we sharing the testimonies? Are we sharing the goodness of God? Are we sharing, you know, the miracles that God is doing in our lives? Okay, and I always say, God bless us so much and show us so much favor, because he know we gonna tell it and we gonna share it. And the blessing, he know what we, if he do bless us, and when he do bless us, which he has been blessing us, we're going to share it. Share what God's given you. If it's a word, share his word. If it's goodness, share his goodness. If it's monetary, if it's money, share it. Share it. God is love. If we're supposed to display Christ, love is not shown until it's felt, or if you give it away, until you give it away. He freely gave us. Let's freely give somebody of our time, our talents, our treasures, whatever you have to offer. Let's make that 2024. Let's do better as a whole. We have to. We have to. What was it? And it went abroad and made an uncertainty. Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted to say. Just let's make them known. Let's hurry up and do it. The hardest thing about witnessing is getting out there. Once you get out there, that's easy. And that's with anything, exercise, whatever. It's getting up. Let's just get up. Just get up. Get out. Let's get out our comfort zones. Okay? The four walls are the four walls. Let's come out of the four walls. And let's reach the lost at any cost. That's a good little slogan, you know, but let's put our money where our mouth, is. Let's put our feet where our mouth is. We talk a whole lot, but we're not going. We're not doing. So let's just do more. Not just, you know, not just for our four, no more either. And our little clique, no. Let's do for those who can't give us nothing back. Let's do for those that we don't want nothing back from. That's why Christ died. I think Vanessa mentioned it on her show last week. It's more of us. He said, "Get greater works we should do, because it's more of us to do it." But are we? Let's do what God called us to do. Okay, and I've been slack too. I'm not just talking to everybody else. I'm talking to myself as well. I'm challenging myself. Go ahead, please.
I'm trying to see where we at based on all of that coming from a verse. I don't
19.
Huh?
It's up at 19.
Vanessa, Ozzy, y'all got anything y'all want to say?
That I really liked that, what you said, Mommy. That was really good. About, yeah, us hurrying up and spreading the news, us hurrying up and being quick to just talk about Jesus, you know, just being excited about it. So I like that. That's good.
Yes,
yeah,
how much of things have
been... Go ahead.
Go ahead,
Asha. Go ahead, you got to expound on what you said.
No, I was just saying how many good things he's done for us.
Facts. I'm just still stuck on the fact that how Jesus was born in the manger, where that's the source of life, of food for the animals. The animals, which are first on earth, the purest form of life. And Jesus is just the start of it, the nutrients, the water, you know. So, yeah.
That is good. The purity, like the pureness of life, like just simply flowing
everything
water.
Everything in that manger was pure.
Everything in that manger is what you need to live. Food and water, baby. Like. That's what you need to live, and that's what he came in. That is good. Like, I like how you said nutrients, like what you need to literally live, he came in. Like, what?
So if you find yourself in a manger, there's already a story on how you can get out.
Or
not even get out. Not
even,
hold on, not even get out, but realize what you have in your manger and start from there. Build off of that, expound on that. Grow from your manger.
Right, and realizing why God even has you there. Like, there's purpose.
Realize that everything that you need to grow in that manger is already there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we went back. She went back a little bit, but that's still good. Like, I like how you said, like, you still stuck on that. Because that's what I'm saying is I was stuck when Mommy had brought up the fact, like, just compared that to God, to Jesus being the bread of life. And, that was just good. So, yeah, I was just like, stuck back there, too, when she had said it. I'm like, what? That's so good. So, yeah.
And the word Bethlehem, where he was born at, is the house of bread, is the meaning.
Come on.
Okay. even where he was, even the town he was born in, is a house of bread.
Mm.
That's the meaning. That's what Bethlehem means. The house of bread.
That's so good. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I might have to dig deeper and see wherever the blood comes from, because that's communion. Yeah.
You said where the what comes from?
The blood of Jesus.
That's
why that's said.
That's his death.
The beginning and the end. Jesus. Come on. The beginning was the bread. The end was the blood. Well... meaning you can't take communion without the other, right? So know that as long as you're in that manger, there will be an end, the blood of Jesus. Well.
Go ahead, sweetie.
All right, so we're in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he conceived in the womb. When the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. as is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death, for he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came to the Spirit, and he came by the Spirit into the temple, when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do him after the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light of the Gentiles, a light to lighten the Gentiles. Sorry about that. And the glory of the people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of the many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yes, war shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one answer. I mean, anybody got anything? Because we're just reading right now.
Just go to the next one. Go to the next one.
And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 80 years old. And she was a widow about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, served God with fasting and praying night and day. And she, coming in the instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their own city, Nazareth.
Amen. God is always going to leave a witness to testify on your behalf. Okay? All of this was supposed to happen before Simeon die, correct? Am I right?
Yeah, so the Lord said he wouldn't die until he saw the Lord's salvation.
Right. So guess what? God is going to always have somebody to vouch for you. You don't have to try to make a name for yourself or have this, you know, whatever. God will always have somebody there for you. The truth. To know the truth on your behalf on what's to come, because Anna, she was a prophetess as well. Okay, so we don't have to worry about, you know, our story not being told or this or that, or God will always have a ram in the bush to vouch for you. That's all we have to do is live a clean, like this, like Simeon. A clean life. And we're here to testify for our Jesus Christ. We're now a testimony for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are. Just like Simeon. Let's tell and let's go for the rest of our lives. Just doing what God called us to do. Preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. Live the gospel. Most of all, let people see your light. They might not ever pick up a Bible, but they're reading you. They're reading you. What are you displaying? Are you displaying love? Are you displaying Christ? That's what Jesus is looking for. That's what he wants from us. That's what he requires of us. Let it shine.
so the world can see it. Be that light that sit on the hill that cannot be hid. I don't care how, you know, you feel. Sometimes we feel like, you know, our light is dim. Well, you know what you need. We need to do to, you know, to lighten our light. Some more words, some more prayer. Fast a little bit more. But this is why Jesus Christ was, he was born for us and he died for us. And now we can testify. Now we can testify on his behalf. On why he came, how he came, and what he came here for. He came here for the sinners. He came here for you. He came here for me. It's not just for, you know, a certain party. It's not just for a certain race. He came here for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever. He don't want nobody to perish. But it's a free will. We have a free will to do whatever we want to do. Choose life. Choose Christ today. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I beg you to get to know him. Get in your word. Get into a good Bible teaching church. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I ask you to repeat after me, Lord, I'm sorry for the sins I committed. I hear you knocking at the doors of my heart. I ask you to come in. Save me from myself. And I believe that you died and you rose on the third day for me. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Live for Christ.
Amen. 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 All right. All right. All right. So hopefully somebody prayed that prayer and accepted Jesus Christ in your life.
Yeah.
That's it for tonight. I want to thank all that was on, that heard us tonight, even if it was just ourselves hearing each other. Lord, I thank you in the name of Jesus. If somebody can pray us out, we'll be done.
Somebody, anybody?
Father God, I thank you for this moment. I thank you for this opportunity. I thank you for even waking us up this morning to be yet at this moment in our lives. On this radio broadcast right now with the Royal Blue S, my family. Thank you for those who are listening, if anybody is on at all, but thank you for whoever is on. Maybe you got something tonight that you can run with, that you can be a help to somebody, that you can bring somebody to Christ, that you can convince somebody by your own life and how you live it, that they see how you do things and want to prepare themselves to be like you. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you that we're not all perfect, but you give us a chance every time you wake us up to get better and better and better and to be more Christ-like as your son is. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for knowing that what would happen to him when he came into this world, knowing that the people that would crucify him by your foreknowledge of knowing that, but that you wanted him to be crucified for our sins and bruised for our iniquities, that you wanted to lay upon us, but Jesus stood in the gap and took all that for us that we can be reconciled back to you. And Father God, we thank you for making a way for us to give back to you. We thank you for continuing to give us your word to make it an easier walk to stay with you. For all who's under my voice tonight, get your word in you. Get your Bible. Start studying the word of God. See what it is actually saying. Don't let a man or a woman just keep telling you about God. But get into the word yourself about the word of God and keep it near and dear unto you. May God make you feel excited to want to learn. May God make you feel excited to want to teach in the name of Jesus. So I thank my family. I thank Elder Oliver for this chance to say anything about the word of God. And may God continue to bless you and your family, Elder Oliver. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Good night.
Good night.